This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about an Indianapolis program designed to help formerly incarcerated people re-enter society. If you have questions or comments on our show today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. Just give your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment, and we will do our best to get it into the conversation today. Again, 866-476-3881. We would love to hear your voice today. And we are joined today by three guests. Neil Metzger is program manager of the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you, Matt.
Tashina Clark is this year's winner of the Ready Business Pitch Contest and the founder of Taste Buddies. Tashina, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right. And Mark Harsley is the 2019 winner of the pitch contest and founder of Kite. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Neil, we'll start with you. How did the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative, or READY as it's known, start?
So READY started in October of 2016. And so Business Ownership Initiative looked at kind of the client base that it had served over its past 20 years and noticed that there was this opportunity to serve justice-involved individuals. We had been doing it the entire time, but never actually really focusing on it. And so we applied for the SBA Prime Grant and received it. And actually, we just received our fifth year. And so we created a program that looked at kind of this idea of, if you're struggling to find employment, is entrepreneurship an alternative for you? And if so, how can we get you the training and kind of the background so you can feel more comfortable as you launch that business, either full time, part time, just as an occasional gig? And so we created a 5-week training course, and then we provide 1-on-1 business coaching. And we decided that the focus on the business support would allow us to fit into kind of the reentry service community and then create a referral resource with all of the wraparound services that are available for those that are returning from incarceration. And so we felt it was kind of that missing piece to help support individuals as they thought about their next steps.
What do we know about the obstacles that are there for people who are formerly incarcerated trying to reenter society? Is entrepreneurship really, depending on the climate, and let's speak specifically, I guess, to Indiana, is entrepreneurship really sometimes one of their only options to generating an income in Indiana?
It definitely can be. Employment is a very large barrier for people with backgrounds, especially felonies, if they're going into fields that might include background checks or just looking for that idea of sustainable wages. And so, if you have the technical skills and abilities and training, can you start your own business or can you kind of make that side income? Depending on your field, if you're in the service industry or something, can you do side jobs or can you do something in addition? And so it allows you to allows you additional opportunities to think about what you can do for your family and for your community.
Now, I have a small business myself. I know that it takes a long time to develop and, not all small businesses really earn enough to make a living in the first few years. What kind of resources do you give these folks to kind of give them, a head start or maybe accelerate their business? What do you tell them? What advice?
That is very true. Small businesses are not for everybody. And not for the faint of heart. It is a struggle. It's a challenge. And so the goal that we tell them is to look at, where are you? Are you stable enough to take this on? And kind of what are you looking to get out of it? So, can you grow from a side gig and start to make it a full-time business? How can you supplement with another job? Or what are those other things that make sure that you are stable and able to provide, and then how do you grow that business over time? So we're not trying to tell people that, hey, you can start a business and you're going to be, profitable in the first 6 months. That's not realistic. But it is if you're looking at the long-term goals and the long-term growth for yourself, is the business an opportunity? And if so, what are those beginning steps that you can take? And so a lot of our training and coaching is kind of to that beginning operation. So how do you register a business? How do you think about cash flow? Who are your customers? How do you do the market research? Those kinds of basic formulas that you can help think through what the business is going to be and if it's something for you. You know, if in the end of this, if you come talk to us, go through a training, and you decide not to open a business, that's not a failure. That's just you learning that it wasn't the opportunity for you. And so we're trying to be those supports. But then beyond just the coaching and training, we are also a CDFI. And so we provide microloans for businesses that are starting to grow. And then beyond that, as Mark and Tashina can talk to, we have once a year a pitch contest where we have five finalists present Shark Tank style, and the winner gets $2,500 cash and in-kind services. So kind of the legal, accounting, web development resources that can really help you boost your business.
And Tashina, that brings me to you. Can you tell us about Taste Buddies, your business, and how you came up with the idea?
All right. Well, Taste Buddies came from my broken heart. Taste Buddies basically is food salads and desserts in a mason jar. The empowerment of the food salads in the jar in the mason jar are basically fresh ingredients and the essentials of love and soul with a twist. I am basically expressing how eating on the go can be healthy, how it can be inexpensive, and it can be fun. It's kind of a twist with eating on the go.
I'm glad I ate before the show because that would otherwise make me hungry. What did the process look like?
It's okay.
What did the process look like when you were working with Neil before and after your release on this?
Oh, man. The process working with Neil. So, of course, when I was working with Neil, I met Neil in Indiana Women's Prison. So I was incarcerated. At that time, I probably had a little bit over a month before I was released. I was very adamant about the program, but at the time when I entered the program, I only had the idea. So I had the article of organization, the business cards in the jar waiting for me to be released, but I didn't have anything else. Working with Neil, I was able to get the understanding of who Taste Buddies really was, the understanding of who I was as the owner and what I wanted to express with my business. It was a really great experience. I was cut short, so I never got to pitch in prison because I was released early. So me winning the 2020 pitch was like, oh, my God, overwhelming and just like I don't even know how to express the emotions. But, like, I know Neil probably felt it, too, because sitting in prison, you're thinking, like, this is not going to happen or this won't happen or I won't be here. And here I am a year later, like, yay, I won. I pitched, and my pitch was a great pitch, and this is a good business idea, and all the thanks besides the guy goes to Neil for helping me.
Mark, let's get to you before the end of this segment. Can you tell us about Kite, your business? How does it work, and where'd the idea come from?
The Kite Mail app is an app that is aimed at helping justice-affected families connect more easily with their incarcerated loved ones. The idea for that business came from my actual experiences being incarcerated. I was in a federal prison in 2018 and having issues staying connected with my family and friends outside of the expensive phone calls and the occasional time I got to spend on the computer sending emails. It really became a financial strain for some of the people who were supporting me. And that's when I really started to put the idea behind Kite together in just like notes on a notepad. I was actually, after being released, able to kind of release those ideas into the world through learning how to code myself. It was shortly after that that I got engaged with the Ready program. And the actual application, as planned, is an app that will take your photos from your phone, allow you to choose a postcard template within our application, and be able to send a unique postcard to your loved one with the photo and a caption attached to it. and they're actually going to receive that physically through the mail. So although it's a tech-enabled and an application business, there is a actual product at the end that the incarcerated person received, and it's meant to make sure that individuals not only have the connection that they need, but just have the support, the encouragement, and the motivation that's so important to surviving that scenario and also being able to get ready for your release.
Mark, if you could help illustrate what it's like for people who maybe don't have experience either being incarcerated or communicating with incarcerated people, what are all the obstacles in the way, both from the perspective of the people trying to communicate with the people who are incarcerated and from the perspective of the person who is incarcerated?
Right. So, ironically, in 2020, I think it's a lot easier to empathize with the plight of those who are incarcerated and isolated. I think we're all getting just a little bit of a taste of that because of COVID. And so naturally, there's just the physical distance, right? The idea of not physically being present because of COVID, that has meant even more families who are not allowed for safety reasons to do in-person visitations. And so what's created is this environment of isolation that really puts a strain on communication in particular. Communication, especially when it's when it is both inconvenient, you know, you may not always have access to the phone even for 24 hours when you're in that incarcerated setting. You know, it's a privilege that can be taken away depending on what's going on in the facility at the time. And so, and it's also expensive. And so that makes it really hard to be able to maintain a consistent and open line of communication at times. And a lot of people on the outside, the family members who do want to support, it is just a matter of, you know, living your life, right? You have a lot of people have jobs and careers and family and possibly even young children. If we think about our current times, you're talking about maybe a mom who's lost her husband.
And Mark, we're headed into a break, so we'll continue that when we come back. We're talking today about the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative, which is a reentry program in Indianapolis. We'll be back in 90 seconds with more. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We're talking today about a reentry program that teaches formerly incarcerated people how to create and grow a business. And we would love your questions and comments on the topic. Jump in on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or you can leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. 866-476-3881. Our guests are Neil Metzger, Program Manager of the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative, Tashina Clark, this year's winner of the Ready Business Pitch Contest and founder of the business Taste Buddies, and Mark Harsley, the 2019 winner of the pitch contest. He founded a business called Kite. And Mark, just before we went to break, I stepped on your toes. You were kind of illustrating what it's like to communicate with incarcerated people and for incarcerated people to communicate with the outside world and the obstacles and the challenges involved there. And I'm so sorry I had to cut you short, but I am curious, and you can follow up on that if you'd like, but I'm curious how you found out about the Ready program to help you get this started.
Yeah, absolutely. My story to finding the Ready program is actually very interesting. After having been enrolled at Kinsey Academy for about 6 months, which is a local software engineering and UX design training program here located in Indianapolis, I was in the middle of their curriculum. I was preparing a capstone project to pitch to my classmates, actually, just for being able to begin this as a project while learning these software development skills. And I actually just that day have been pitching the idea for us to do it as a project. And then I actually got a call from my probation officer about coming in and checking in with them. So on my way to that appointment, I was listening to the radio. I just received a Slack notification about my project being chosen for the capstone. And I actually heard the Ready program pitch night and competition being advertised on the radio. So on a day where I really kind of had, in another way, really just decided that I really was going to go forward and start taking the steps towards this business, ironically, that same day, I heard the radio advertisement. I applied immediately that night. And that really helped. I don't know. It felt like just a very serendipitous moment where it was just like, wow, everything kind of came together in this moment. And this is probably definitely the thing for me to do right now going forward to take this to the next level.
Neil, we just heard from Mark a little bit ago about the challenges of communicating with the outside world and with the outside world communicating with the inside world. And that's exactly why he started Kite. Can you talk about some of the specific challenges that people face who are entering this program, your program, the Ready program? And I imagine there are logistical issues that come up with people who are still incarcerated and people who have also been released. Talk about it.
Yes, absolutely. Since we do kind of provide our training in two different parts, both in a pre-release setting in Department of Correction facilities, but then also post-release in the communities. And both sides see significant challenges. They're a little bit different, though. Within the pre-release settings, one of the biggest challenges is getting the information. And so, you know, you sign up for this program and you're thinking about creating a business and a business plan and all these ideas, but you have no way to really do the research for it. And so that's where we're able to provide a lot of that market research and kind of get them the background so that they can really have a good foundation for when they are released and start to really think about the action steps that they can take. On the post-release side, you know, it's one of the bigger challenges is getting stabilized, figuring out what the next steps are. And so, you know, the Ready program is an opportunity, but it's also that next thing. And so, you know, if you can't find a bus pass for the day, or if you, you know, a family member becomes sick, there's all kinds of just lived obstacles that can really pop up and can be a challenge for taking the Ready program or even moving forward with your business, whether you're in the Ready program or not. And so that's where we try to use as many community services as possible to make sure that we can get those resources to the individuals that are taking part in the class.
Mark, what are some aspects of that reentry process that people might not know about if they've never had any sort of an experience with the world of being incarcerated? I mean, what kind of challenges did you face personally?
Personally, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, a change of environment is one, right? You've been in a very tightly controlled environment for, you know, a period of time. And there's a mental adjustment to that. As Neil mentioned, sometimes there's a lack of access to opportunities. So it takes a lot of support and reinforcement to actually be diligent and committed to finding opportunities, even when it comes to income, creating opportunities. You aren't coming out in most instances with a lot of resources, especially financially. So it's really important very early to try to identify some type of financial plan or opportunity. And I think that's where Ready really steps in to be able to help provide some of that. But otherwise, you know, you're dealing with the emotional challenges. You're being reconnected with friends and family, potentially children. You're having to battle with actually your past and having people see you in a different light, right? We've all made mistakes, and so you have to go through the process of earning people's trust back and being able to do all those things which are a part of the process of reentering to society. And you also have to do so while being very tightly, you know, watched by those who are responsible for your relative freedom. Most of the time when you're being released, you're not being released into, you know, to your home. Sometimes it may be a transitional place, or you may be on some form of community correction. And what that means is constantly being at risk if you can't sort some of these things out, like employment, a source of income, or find some type of educational or trade opportunity, of always being at risk of having your freedom potentially revoked. And that just really creates a high pressure situation. And, you know, you have sometimes people do not come back to the support
that is needed to really be able to navigate that without finding themselves reincarcerated again.
Tashina, how different do you think your life would be right now if you hadn't applied for the READY program?
Oh, man. I really think that my life, it probably would have been a little bit of a struggle. I already had, like, culinary experience, and I didn't have the lack of experience of, like, finding a job or rehabilitating myself after incarceration or just after any situation. So, with the READY program, if I wouldn't have had it, Taste Buddies wouldn't be here. And I will kind of probably be stagnated trying to figure out what I wanted to do with Taste Buddies. So, with that being said, the information and the knowledge that I obtained from Neil in those quick weeks, I mean, they were quick. I was able to go back to my dorm and focus and go to the library and read more books and basically critique my intellectual value so that when I did come out, I was not only ready for the society that I had to return to, but the society as not only an ex-felon, but an entrepreneur.
Had you ever thought about entrepreneurship in the past? I mean, you know, a lot of people think about things that they'd want to do. And you said you had culinary experience. That's a field that can really lend itself to entrepreneurship. Was that thought ever in your mind about owning a business, or were you always just thought? Did you always just think, I'll have a career, I'll be an employee?
Well, you know, growing up, I thought about, okay, I'm going to have a career. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, everyone has that ambition and that goal. But going through life, it was more of, okay, am I a worker or am I a leader? Am I a follower? Am I just a number? So with that being said, you know, I was able to cross train in every area that I worked in every occupation. You know, I was always willing to learn more because I feel like if you want to become an entrepreneur, you have to acquire all the knowledge that you need in order to fulfill the job. So I just took the steps to learn everything. Like, I felt like there was not a step that I could not have learned. Did I think that I would be an entrepreneur? No. You know, like, it's different when you're braiding hair on the side or you're making blankets on the side. But when you're actually a business and people look forward to your business, it's a different feeling. So, no, I didn't think 3 years ago I would be here. No, I
Neil,
didn't think a week and a half ago I'll be here.
No, that's quite all right. No, I wasn't sure if you were done or not. I appreciate that, Tashina. That's some great perspective. We're talking about a program that helps formerly incarcerated people reenter society as entrepreneurs called the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative. And, of course, we're joined by the program manager, Neil Metzger. So, Neil, you already talked about a lot of the big factors of recidivism in Indiana, or at least you touched on them. If we could kind of go through a list. And it seems like employment is really kind of forefront. Let's take a look at that list. Am I right about that? Is employment kind of at the top?
Yeah. Typically, the big two are typically employment and housing. And so, you know, when you look at recidivism, typically about two-thirds of people that go back to prison are going back because of a technical violation. And that technical violation could be that they weren't able to find stable housing, that they weren't able to find the employment that they needed to in order to fulfill their obligations. And so those are kind of the two big things. But there are tons of other contributing factors. And so, you know, kind of to what Mark was talking about, you know, you might not be coming back to the support system that is necessary to help you succeed. And so, you know, there are just millions in, or not millions. There are tons and tons of factors that could be out there. And so we just looked at kind of what is that leading one and saw employment as that kind of big barrier. And figuring out how we could kind of maybe make a little bit of an impact there.
And so, Mark Harsley, I mean, how could companies, do you think, companies and businesses change to make reentry less challenging to formerly incarcerated people?
Yeah, and I think that you bring up an awesome point, and that's an awesome question as well. There's a lot of issue and attention currently within society around how different work environments have to adjust to to not only the need for diversity, but for how it ultimately impacts the bottom line of a business. And a lot of the support for initiatives aimed at the formerly incarcerated currently start with the individual and preparing them in the way that Ready does. But there certainly is a corporate responsibility to make sure that your workplace environment is prepared to have someone with that background involved in the day-to-day operations and flow of your business. And so I think there's a little bit of responsibility for companies to educate themselves about the different resources out there that are available in the form of bonding to help make and incentivize bringing someone with a felony into your company, your corporate culture. And it really makes sense to, again, just kind of prepare the leadership and the staff to be able to really empower and set individuals up for success and really understand the value of that type of investment towards not only making the business better and more profitable, but how that just contributes to the overall health of our society when we can take individuals who haven't had the previous, you know, economic foundation and opportunity to do so really in a career and not just a temporary job opportunity.
I mean, and as a business owner yourself now, I mean, do you feel like that has changed your perspective on what business owners kind of have to go through as far as a decision-making process on who to bring into your business? And I mean, you're also a formerly incarcerated person. And so you're kind of on both sides now from the perspective of someone who was formerly incarcerated and who was struggling to try to, who was at one time struggling to try to find employment or something like that. And also a business owner who wants to make sure that their business environment is I guess served by all those there and without an acceptable amount of risk, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And that risk is there regardless of who you're training or onboarding. One of the things that you're right in living in both worlds and having foot in being a felon and formerly incarcerated, but also what it really shows me is that, you know, it is very important to be intentional, like you said, about the environment that you're creating, that, you know, inclusiveness is not just limited to race, although that is extremely important because this particular issue, incarceration, you know, how it affects the Black community in particular is, you know, been documented and it's a part of the process. But I absolutely do have learned that ultimately, you know, you want to create value. And what I see personally is I recognize how hungry I was for opportunity based on, as Tashina mentioned, like when you are incarcerated, you have a lot of time to plan, you have a lot of time to read and prepare for what your next opportunities you know, are. And so just opening up that door and being proactive about maybe even just looking at not every situation based on its past, but, you know, the hunger and a lot of the skills that individuals who've been incarcerated possess when it comes to navigating even their own incarceration are all things that should be viewed positively when looking to bring. Those are exactly the kind of people you want to bring into your company, especially at the startup stage where I am, is you want people who ultimately want to work and who want the opportunity, who have vision, who are going to be creative and who are going to be innovative. And I think all those attributes and characteristics describe the formerly incarcerated.
Neil, I want to talk in our last minute in this segment. I want you to kind of address whether or not you look at these businesses as, or whether or not you want these businesses or expect these businesses to have longevity, or if perhaps they have a finite life, because ultimately what we're talking about is getting people started back up. And then if they can get started back up with a business and then work at that business for just long enough to where they can then be hired by someone within that same field of that business, I don't know. Is that discussed as part of the program? Like the business gets you started because you're going to have trouble finding a job. Once you get the business going and you show that you've got this initiative, I don't know. Do you tell people in the program, hey, then you're more likely to get a job if that's what you want?
So I guess to that point, we kind of talk about what is your vision for it? Like, what is your dream for this? You know, that dream could be that I just need something to supplement my income until I can find that long-term career. That's absolutely a great option. Or, you know, I want to create a legacy for my family that I want to pass down to my kids. That, you know, let's build for that. Or, you know, I want to turn this around and get some venture capital and, you know, turn around and sell my business off and start something new. I want to be a serial entrepreneur. You know, there's probably less of those, but let's talk about what that looks like and how we can get you there.
And we'll do that after the break. We're talking to people who started a business after participating in a reentry program, and we'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelzer. Back now to our discussion on a reentry program that focuses on business ownership. And as always, we would love your questions and comments. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. We're talking with Tashina Clark, this year's winner of the Ready Business Pitch Contest. Ready, of course, means Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative. This year's winner, and she's also the founder of Taste Buddies LLC. Mark Harsley is also with us. He's the 2019 winner of the pitch contest, and he founded Kite, which is a program that helps people communicate with those who are incarcerated. And we're also talking with the program manager of the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative, Neil Metzger. And just before the break, Neil, I stepped on your toes, and you were in the middle of talking about a few of the tertiary goals of the program. I mean, the main goal is entrepreneurship, and another part could be, you know, the entrepreneurship piece, getting people on their feet and getting them maybe a work portfolio or a work experience list, like a resume. And then, because as a business owner myself, I know the value in not being the owner, not being the boss, and just being an employee. And you were talking about entrepreneurship being a means to starting a career if that's your only option. And if you want to continue on that, you can. But what I would like to ask you about are the resources that are available locally for people who are reentering society, and whether there are enough, do you feel like?
Sure. And I think, you know, Ready is here to help you find whatever that vision is. If it's long-term business ownership, great. If it's, you know, using business ownership to become an employee in a new field, that's excellent as well. As far as the reentry resources, there's a lot of resources out there. So really looking at kind of your community centers, your centers for working family, they can help you with employment, kind of that financial literacy piece, and some of them will help you with housing as well. But then beyond that, there's kind of this Marion County Reentry Coalition that is a gathering of everybody who touches the reentry field and is interested in it. And so there's a lot of resources within that that you might be able to find something, or they might be able to refer you to somebody. And so it's kind of that idea that we're all here to help each other. And so I might not be able, you know, I'm not going to be the best person to help you find housing, but I know who I can refer you to. And so there are a lot of those resources. That being said, you know, there's always need for additional help. So currently, you know, we're seeing massive unemployment. And so, you know, that's going to typically affect those that have backgrounds as well. And so what are the additional employment opportunities? What are the housing opportunities? You know, those kinds of things are always going to be challenges. And I think Mark talked a lot to that with kind of what does that diversity in the workplace look like? But then beyond that, what are the opportunities to find stable housing with a felony can be a huge challenge. And so what is the opportunity as a leaseholder or somebody like that to give that opportunity to somebody to try to stabilize? So those are, you know, that's always an ongoing challenge and always an opportunity.
And so, Tashina, let's follow up with you on that. In addition to this program, the Ready program, were there other resources that played a part in your success so far in getting back?
Oh, yes, it was. A couple of organizations, and they're all free. I got my culinary training from Second Helping, which was a 7-week program. And it just basically empowers people to get back into the culinary field, people that were incarcerated as well. The Ready program, of course, when I was incarcerated, and then Indiana Plan, they're a free program too. They're a 2-week program, and that's the construction side. So as you see, Tashina's done a little bit of it all, but all of these resources kind of have helped me build Taste Buddies, helped me set who Tashina is in stone, and just basically empower myself and empower the youth, the felons that are coming from federal prison, DOC, just wherever, people that are sitting in Marion County Jail, the judges, the police officers, like the people who just stopped believing in me and Mark and in everyone else that are in the same situation or were in the same situation and now are in a better position. These programs are here. These programs are for everyone, and it is an opportunity to increase your human capital, increase yourself, increase your value of life. Like, if you keep being stagnated, then what, you know?
And so I want to get an idea, because I myself have never been incarcerated. I can't imagine, or rather, I can imagine, although I'm sure I don't have nearly the complete picture that I need, that it's a confidence killer. I mean, being incarcerated has got to feel like, well, at times you've got to feel really low, like there's not much. Sometimes you maybe feel like there's not much you can do, not much you can offer society. And then when you start to think, well, maybe I can start a business, how much of that is there to overcome? I mean, I imagine there was a confidence boost in winning this small business development program, but how much did you have to overcome to get the confidence to get to a point where you felt like you could run a business? How much of a hill was that to climb?
I'm still climbing. it was a tremendous hill. Me being from the far east side of the city, not a privileged area, not where I can walk out and see a park or a nice grass. So me just experiencing life has been a challenge. When I went to prison, the challenge that I experienced was that I had to learn new things, but try to unlearn the old things. And when I say that to people, they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I learned a whole lot of things in life, you know, but when I went to prison, I had to unlearn them because there were things that I learned in prison that I didn't know, you know? So I was able to access how to make a meal in a microwave or how to crochet a blanket or how to draw a picture. Like, these people are sitting in prison. These people are geniuses. These people have the knowledge to empower and change the world. But when you're stagnated or you're in a box, it's hard to get out if you don't have a way or an idea or just the thought of what can change your situation. So when I speak on Taste Buddies, when I speak on the programs, when I speak on everything that I've been through in life, I think about the hard work that I had to put in, and it takes back to what Mark said. You know, like, you have to work hard. You have to show your ambition. You have to be determined. Perseverance has no limit. You know, you could be 15 in college with a bachelor's degree as valedictorian, or you could be 101 years old. Perseverance is limitless. So, you know, when I think about me sitting in there, I think about how hard I worked, the things that I worked on, the things that outside of Taste Buddies that have not been mentioned. And I mean, woo, a bucket list. That's what I say. This is what I tell people. Incarcerated, sitting out, you, Neil, Mark, a bucket list. Make one. Put three things on there that you want to accomplish within the next 3 to 6 months.
when you knock off three, reach out to me and tell me, hey, Christina, I knocked them off. Girl, this is what I'm working on. Like, now I'm on my third booking list, so you got to think about it. I made one year 2017, 2018, 2019, and here I am in 2020. So you have to invest in yourself.
We're talking about the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative, which is a reentry program that focuses on business ownership. And Mark, of course, your business is Kite, which connects incarcerated people with people outside, family and friends. I mean, can you tell us about the role that family and friends play in the reentry process?
Absolutely. Family and friends are the spark behind lowering the rates of recidivism. A lot of times when you're isolated, you're out of sight, out of mind. So directly engaging family before you're being released has been proven statistically to reduce the rate of recidivism. It's all about family serving as a guide, about being motivational, about being inspirational, encouraging. That's one of the reasons why we offer photos through Kite, so that you have that tangible representation of what you're actually coming back to as a reminder. Some of those sparks for me came directly from my friends and family, from Jeff Williams, Calvin Jones, who actually have been a central part of my development as an entrepreneur even after being released. And so when those conversations are happening on the jail phone or prison phone or through Kite, then you have a much better chance of being able to access those resources that are out there. That's how I was able to get to Kenzie Academy, working with Cold Black Indie after being released. That's how I was able to continue to receive support as an entrepreneur after winning the Ready program, because then I had Jeff and Kelly Jones at the Black Hatch Fund to pick me up and give me additional resources. And so what I want people to see is how important their part is to play in the whole development of our society when it comes to the formerly incarcerated, is that just that one spark that you provide to an individual ultimately then goes on and exponentially starts to affect, because then there are now the people that I'm going to affect through Kite. I've now been connected to Shashina, and we are having conversations about how we can impact other people. Those things don't happen if one individual, friend, or family doesn't first see it as their responsibility to take time to invest. You know, I keep coming back to the idea of investment. Investment is so important within this community, within the Black community, and we have to have people who are willing to invest their time, their social capital, into seeing ownership as a valuable pathway forward, even without, you know, being employed. But you need somebody to, everybody needs someone to encourage them. Everyone needs someone to show them the way and to get connected with the right people. The networks that you have are literally directly tied to what you're able to accomplish. And that's why, you know, we talk about the formerly incarcerated as people, because after having been incarcerated, you know, you can become used to people treating you like you aren't valuable. And so really what family really does, their role is to help an individual see their value in spite of what's happening going on around them.
Neil Metzger, what are your hopes for the future of this program, the Ready program?
I think Mark put it perfectly. It's this idea of investment in the community. So, you know, as part of the entrepreneurship services of the Indy Chamber, we're here to make sure all businesses have an opportunity to succeed. And so those that are coming from justice involvement have the extra barriers. And so how can Ready and my team be there to support? You know, we have a business coach in Emily Hawk who has so much enthusiasm and loves to support those individuals. And so how can we be that extra resource, that extra person to talk to and move forward? And so as we look towards the future, you know, COVID has made some changes. So we're doing a lot more virtual stuff, but we're trying to make sure that we're still creating those connections and still creating those resources that can go forward. And so you know, beyond the program that I've already kind of talked about, we're also looking into, we've started a leadership academy that looks at how do you sell to individuals that you're not used to? How do you kind of go through a training of hearing no and growing from it? And how do you take that forward with your business? And so it's all about empowering individuals in their mission of business ownership and making sure that they can be successful. And so we hope to be able to provide that for years to come.
Tashina, what are you most excited about for the future?
Oh, man, I'm most excited about what Ready Corner will offer to everyone else besides myself and Mark. I'm eager to see how many people will inquire about change for their life and empowerment for their life. I'm just eager to just see my brand really become a brand and, like, not just a dream, because it's still a dream to me right now, like, even though it's happening. But I'm really ready for the big show of it, so the big side of it. So I'm just excited. I'm just excited to show empowerment, show perseverance, show change, show the investment that I have done in myself to get myself here, and show appreciation for the help that I inquire to get here. So, you know, I'm just excited about what 2021 might bring when I host the pitch for 2021, or what 2022 might bring for Taste Buddies and Kite and everyone else who has been going through this program before me and Mark. So,
well, so what about if we take a look at your business, Tashina, what stage would you say you're at right now? I mean, I'm sure COVID really threw a wrench into things, but what's now and what's next?
All right. So now I'm currently enrolled in pitching. So I'm pitching because I'm still in the beginning stage. In 2021, I am in an apprenticeship program, which I don't know if Neil knows, but he knows now. I was offered a 3-month program at 16 Tech, which will be a business operation off of 16th and Riverside. I will be in this acceleration program for 3 months, and it'll be a finalization of my plan. I will be in the commissary kitchen, using the kitchen, selling my product, and making a profitable market to get my final chapter. So whether I want a vending machine or a storefront or a food truck, that will be the end in 2021. So in like the next 6 months, Taste Buddies will be finalized. So I'm assuming now when I pitched, I was in the beginning stage, like crawling. So apparently I have shoes and they're stride rights and I'm walking now. So I'll be driving soon in like the next 6 months. So yeah, I'm walking and riding a bike now. So that's my stage.
All right. And Mark, let's take a look at where your business is now. We've got less than a minute to go. I mean, what's now and what's next for you?
What's next is just continuing to grow as an entrepreneur, continuing to invest myself, my time, and my business into the continued creation of a supportive entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Indianapolis that provides opportunity and funding for businesses that need it, continue to get the support. I'm in the process of some beta testing for my platform and also piloting some programs with some channel partnerships to work out the kinks between sending that mail to different facilities around the state. And we're just excited. I'm excited as a CEO of this company just to continue to receive support and encouragement in bringing this into fruition and continuing to impact more families and seeing what kind of overall impact we can have, you know, with the time we have with the rest of this year and, you know, taking that momentum into the next year. So I'm sure you will definitely hear some major announcements from me towards the end of this year if you follow me on my social channel.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests for taking the time today. Neil Metzgers, Program Manager of the Reentry Entrepreneurship Development Initiative. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you for having me on.
Tashina Clark, this year's winner of the Ready Business Pitch Contest and founder of Taste Buddies LLC. Tashina, best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Carsley, 2019 winner of the pitch contest and founder of Kite. We're out of time. Sorry. Thanks for listening. This is All In.